study in Acts last week, and you can't start your study in Acts talking about in the upper room fervently praying and not be people of prayer. So I'm so thankful this is a church that is all about prayer. So thank you for allowing us to have that time. So if you haven't already, go ahead and get in your Bibles. We are continuing our study in the book of Acts. As I said last week, we began, and it's going to take us up to the holiday season, going through this wonderful book, what is my favorite book of the Bible, what is a great call of renewal and refreshment, a call back to what the early church was and who they were and how they served. And that's who we desire to be as individuals and as a church. So last week we witnessed Jesus giving those final instructions to his disciples, which included that promise of great power to come in order to accomplish a great mission. And now we'll see the next stage of this story develop in our text this morning, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 41. We won't quite get to the end of the chapter today. That'll be next week, but through verse 41. And I do have a little quiz to kind of get a little smile on our face, I hope, and a little bit of getting our brains focused on working here this morning. So my topic this morning is this, superheroes, okay? I love superheroes. I have a wallet that has comic books and superheroes on it. I love superheroes. I'm sorry if you don't, but we're going to have a little quiz about them this morning. And it does have a point, and you will see, I hope. So first question. She has a lasso of truth, an invisible jet, and bullets bounce off of her fabulous bracelets.
Wonder Woman,
that's right. I wonder how many calories, I've been thinking a lot about calories lately, this fast hero burns when he runs at super speed. I think y'all said it. It was so fast I couldn't hear it. Good job. Being rich might not make you happy, but apparently it helps to have a cool car, great gadget, and a literal man cave. Batman is correct. Only one deemed worthy can wield the mighty hammer from this world. Thor, very good. Who needs superpowers when you have a super suit made by Stark Industries? Iron Man, very good. He fought Nazis in World War II and then took an extended frozen nap before joining the Avengers.
Captain America.
And finally, the lesson he taught us was be careful on school field trips, especially if radioactive spiders are around. Spider-Man. Thank you for indulging me. I love that superheroes often have great taglines or great catchphrases. And one memorable slogan from a superhero came about in the very first Spider-Man story, which was in the comic book Amazing Fantasy way back in 1962. And it concluded with the words this, with great power, there must also come great responsibility. And as we take a brief look this morning in Acts 2 at the birth of the church, this quote serves as our transition to our one big idea this morning, which is this. As Christ's followers, we are given great power in order to carry out the most important of responsibilities, to share the love and truth of Jesus with this world. Pray with me one more time, please. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it speaks fresh to us every day. Be with us now as we look into your word. Be with our children below as they start their new Sunday school year. Lord God, I just pray for excitement in all of us, God, as we hear from you this morning. We anxiously await what you would say to us in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first truth this morning is this. God does not send us on mission alone. Look at verses 1 through 13 of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." The Bible can be funny at times. Our story begins this morning with this group of 120 believers we learned about last week, still waiting in prayer, just as Jesus had told them to do. The time of Pentecost, one of the three Jewish pilgrimage feasts where the people gathered together in Jerusalem. This time had come. Now, Pentecost, meaning 50, this festival occurred 50 days after the Passover had happened. It was called the Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament, and it was a time of giving thanks and offering some of the first of the wheat harvest that had come in. It was a way of saying, "Thank you, God, for what you have given to us." And as the believers waited, God made his presence known to them in a powerful way. Actually, in three very powerful ways. First, there was an audible element. They heard it, like the sound, like a mighty wind. There was a visual element, what appeared to be tongues of flames that were coming and on top of them. There was a personal element as each one of them began to speak in a language that they did not know. Now, wind and fire are both Old Testament indicators that God is near. Listen to some verses. Isaiah 66:15 says, "See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his chariots are like a whirlwind." Exodus 19:16, when the Ten Commandments were being given, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Right? Wind, fire, God is near. And most likely at this point, the believers exited the house and headed towards the temple area. And Jewish people, some that had moved to Jerusalem after being dispersed to other areas around the world, some who were there because they had made the pilgrimage to celebrate the feast, the festival, to celebrate Pentecost, they were out there and they started gathering around in astonishment. Somehow, each person hearing, you know, their native language. Now, they had a common tongue that they were able to understand, but here, specifically, "Hey, that's my native language. That's my other language I know." And they're hearing that being spoken, and they're trying to figure it out. And I love the fact that it says what were... And I've told you this before. You know, sometimes I'm reading the Bible and like this, all of a sudden this question pops into my mind like that I've never thought about before. And the question that came to mind this week was, what were they saying? You know? What is it they were saying that everybody was hearing in different languages? I want to know, why is it not recorded? I want to know what they were saying. But it gives us a beautiful note because it says what they were doing was declaring the wonders of God. And that's all we really need to hear right there. Declaring the wonders of God. And my prayer is that it can be said the same of us today, both for our own personal worship and for our witness, that how do we speak? We declare the wonders of God. What a beautiful thing to do. Now, as the believers were praising, the crowd understood that these people from Galilee, however they knew they were from Galilee, I don't know if they were wearing like, you know, Galilee shirts or whatever, they started asking this question, how could they do this? How would they know this? They don't know these languages. And they had that question of what could it mean? So what does it mean? What does it mean for us today? You know, in our life, we will receive many gifts. Does anybody like getting gifts? All right? Maybe I should ask who doesn't like getting gifts, okay? I think no matter what your love language is, we all like getting gifts, okay? That's the default one for all of us. We love celebrating birthdays in our house, all right? Caleb is getting ready to turn 6 in just a little over a week. And in our house, we like try to make birthdays last as long as possible, all right? So he'll have a party at the house with some friends. He'll have a family dinner, just family. And he'll have a thing at school where we bring cupcakes in. And in all of these things, he'll probably get one form or another of gifts, all right? But as we think about receiving gifts, we think about the joy of Christmas morning, I hope we really fully think about there is no greater gift. There is no greater gift than having the intimate, personal presence of God within us. Having that relationship to draw on every single day. The disciples understood this. They understood this reality of how great it was to be close to the Lord because they had walked every single day in the footsteps of Jesus. But now Jesus returned to heaven. There was that question, how would they and how would we as believers today still know and love and cherish that personal, intimate relationship with Him? And of course, the answer is because of what happened here. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within each of us that are believers. The gift promised, the gift given to every single person who calls on the name of the Lord, who comes into relationship with God through Jesus. We have the beautiful gift of the Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God with us because the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. And please notice I said He. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is not a force. It is not the Christian version of Star Wars, okay? May the Force be with you. May the Holy Spirit be with you. It's not that. The Holy Person is intimate, personal relationship. A spiritual being that we come into relationship with. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives is a vast, vast ministry. He comforts us in times of trouble. He convicts us of our sin. He disciplines us and draws us back when we start walking away from God. He helps us understand God's Word and how to apply it personally in our lives. He is called the Great Counselor by Jesus because of the wisdom and the guidance that He gives. He helps us to produce. He does the production of good fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. All of the fruits of the Spirit. Without the presence of God in our lives, doing what I just mentioned and much, much more, we could not know what Jesus said. I have come so that you may have life and you may have it abundantly. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, doing all of those things, we could never experience that. So it's a great moment of praise to God for that. Just as Jesus never sent out His disciples alone. Right? You notice that in the Bible, right? He never said, you go there, you go there. He always sent them out in twos. He sent them out as a team. Never sent anyone out alone as He was ministering. We are not sent out alone to witness today because the Spirit goes with us. Another ministry of the Holy Spirit is to prepare hearts to receive the truth about Jesus. That was the whole point of this language miracle that was happening. Right? It wasn't so that they could understand. They spoke a common language. In a second, we'll see Peter not speaking in 40 different languages, but giving a sermon in one language, a common one they had. So it wasn't about so they could understand. The whole point of all this gift of the various language was to draw their attention that something is happening. The Holy Spirit preparing their hearts for what He wants to do in them. It calls those present, those who knew about God but did not know about Jesus or did not believe yet in Jesus, to stop and ask questions. And they would not have to wait long for their answer. Now, it must have been quite a scene. And last week, you may remember, I mentioned that today, sometimes we say things like, I wish things were big and obvious today like they were in the Bible. Okay? Fire, like if I see fire coming down on you and I hear this mighty wind sound and you start speaking, you know, pick a language, to me that's like, okay, God's doing something here. It's very big and it's very obvious. And sometimes we long for that today. Why can't it be big and obvious? Why can't God just smack us over the head to get our attention? We may feel we struggle with hearing the Spirit of God in our lives. On our drive here this morning, Seth was asking me that exact question. How do I know if I'm hearing from God when I ask Him things? All right? And that's a very involved answer. And as we mature in our walk with Christ, it grows and it develops. But I want to give you this morning a surefire, foolproof, money-back guarantee that I promise you You can hear God's voice clearly in your life. You can hear the Spirit speaking clearly to you by doing this. Are you ready for it? Read your Bible. It's that simple. Okay? Now, God speaks to us in many, many other ways. Through other people, through circumstances, through that inner nudging that we happen. But if you want to be positively clear when you're struggling in other ways of hearing God's voice, read your Bible. How can I so easily say that? Listen to 2 Peter 1:19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Why are you making such a big deal of this, Sam? Because we talk and we get frustrated about, I can't hear from God, but then we don't spend time doing this. All right? God cannot do anything in your life. Check that. God can do whatever He wants, but the Holy Spirit's like, put some material in there. Give me something to work with. All right? And as we put it in, throughout the week, He works with it. All right? And He uses something we read, and He uses something that God said to us, that little nugget of truth, to speak into an exact situation that we have going on. All right? And I'm getting fired up about this because I'm speaking to myself as much as any of you. It's very easy as a pastor to fall into your Bible study being your sermon and your teacher preparation. And I struggle with that and going up and down. So I need more of a love for just picking up my Bible and just reading it to hear God's voice. And I pray that we can all have that simple truth. Our next truth this morning is this. As He prepares people's hearts, we are empowered to respond. Look at verses 14 through 36. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he was received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. the crowd had gathered due to what was happening here. And Peter, as the default leader of the disciples, stood and spoke with authority to this group. And I love that he didn't stay focused on the experience that was happening. All right? That was an amazing experience. It'd been very easy to just be like, look what's happening. I mean, something's happening here, right? And it's pretty amazing. Let's just kind of dwell in this experience for a little while and see what happens there. But he quickly moved from experience to truth. All right? He just started quoting Bible. Right? He moved to the truth. And as much as I love an experience with God, there's this tendency we have sometimes to put too much focus on the experience, to depend too much on, if I don't have the experience, then am I really with God right now? Right? That can happen very easily. But the truth of God's Word never changes, never goes back and forth. And that is where our focus should lie. So let's love the experience, but let's always quickly move to the truth and keep our focus on the truth of His Word and allow that. And a second ago, I made a big deal about reading our Bibles. And there are some seasons in our life where we just kind of have to, you know, I don't feel it. I'm not having the experience when I read my Bible, but I know it's truth. And so I'm simply going to read it out of obedience because I know God is going to speak to me. But that's not how our Bible reading has to stay. Right? There's great joy in reading the Word. There's great joy in hearing the truth. There's great joy in just letting God's Word wash over you. Right? Even if it doesn't like, oh, that's what I needed to know exactly today. Sometimes you just need to hear God's Word and let it wash over you and let it fill you and let it do its good work and fill you with joy and fill you with peace. Now, after Peter assured the crowd that the believers were not operating under the notion that it's 5 o'clock somewhere, so let's all have a drink, he went on to try to explain to them what was happening. He gave what we could say is the very first Christian sermon. He started with Scripture, he went on to an explanation, and he had a call to response at the end. All he needed was a joke and a poem, and he was set. Okay? Done. Put it in a book. We can study it later. The Old Testament passage he cited is Joel 2:28-32. And the point of this passage, I'm not going into great detail about the passage, but the point of that passage was that one day there would come a final judgment. Okay? When that day is, one day there will come a final judgment. And there will be people who call on the name of the Lord, and that is how they will be saved. All right? How are you saved in this judgment? Because you have called on the name of the Lord and you have put yourself in relationship with God through Jesus. All right? But who is the name of the Lord? Okay? See, Peter was kind of developing it. He wasn't saying it was Jesus right there. He says, call on the name of the Lord. All right, so who's the Lord? So let's talk about that, Peter said. Peter used more scripture, multiple quotes and allusions to the Psalms to develop the truth that the Lord, the Messiah, the promised one of the Old Testament that God would send to make all things right, was in fact Jesus, the one whom they had just crucified. That he had also risen from the dead and had ascended to heaven to rule at the right hand of the Father. It was a doozy of a first sermon that Peter gave. And right here, from the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, we see the truth that where the Spirit is, there is power. Okay? Think about Peter for a second. Think about the last encounter he had had with a group of Jewish people in Jerusalem. He gave a much different speech at that time. Mark 14:71. Peter began to call down curses on himself and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. That's Peter. The same Peter who now stands up boldly in front of a crowd, which probably included some of the same people that had heard him say that. Peter was now empowered and emboldened by the Holy Spirit, as we are too today. And it's a good reminder that our past sins and our present struggles do not disqualify us from sharing the gospel with others, from sharing the truth of Jesus with others. It didn't stop Peter. Sharing the reality of who we once were and who we are now makes a compelling witness to people about the truth of God's unfailing love and grace in their own lives. Now, the flip side of that is important too, because often we focus on the person that has the dramatic testimony, right? You know, the Paul and the blinding light experience, the murderer who comes to know Jesus and has a jailhouse ministry for the rest of their life. And these are great witnesses. But what about the person who grew up in church and never really went off and got crazy, and has always kind of felt close to God throughout their life? Is that testimony, if that is your testimony, is that any less compelling? Is that worth saying, oh, that's not really a good story, so there's really nothing to share there? No, it is a wonderful testimony of the faithfulness of God in your life and your faithfulness to Him. And that is a beautiful story to share with other people. Because even if that is your story, you, just like the one with the tremendously life-altering testimony, you too, just like that person did, had to come to a place in your life where you said, I don't have it all together. And I need your forgiveness. And I want to be closer to you. And I call on you as my Lord. That's the same testimony of all of us, that we have that point in our life where we just give it all to Him. It's a compelling, it's a beautiful testimony. Peter's actions here teach us that we must be alert for the opportunities that the Spirit gives us. The Holy Spirit opened doors that afternoon, that morning. And Peter responded to the questions that they had by preaching. And the point here is, if we are looking for it, if we desire it, if we say, God, give me these opportunities today, God will give us these chances to share with others, whether it's in word or it's in deed. We will be having conversations with people, and a spiritual fork in the road will happen in the conversation where we can go one way or we can go the other way. He'll give us these opportunities if we're looking for them. There will be moments when we're led to random, quotes, acts of kindness with strangers that give us the chance to say, it's not my goodness doing it, it's the love of God working through me to you. All right? Simple. He'll give us these things. As we stay connected to the Spirit through the Word, through prayer, through being obedient, we will have wonderful opportunities to speak life. So finally this morning, our final truth is this. When we carry out our God-empowered and God-given mission, there will be a response. Look at verses 37 through 41. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Peter's sermon reminds us that we need to know the basics of our faith. He was able to use Scripture to speak to the truth of Jesus as Messiah. He was able to give answers when the people asked, what am I supposed to do? Right? What do I do now? Last week, I made the point that we're not expected to be expert theologians, but we are expected to know the basics of our faith. Why does the gospel matter? What is sin and why is it a big deal? Why was Jesus necessary? Why did what he do make a difference in my life today? I think you know this by now, but I believe a lot in developing relationships with people and getting to kind of cultivate that relationship and our hopes of sharing God with them. But even as we do that, there comes a point where we got to put it out there. There comes a point where we have to give a clear explanation as to what it means to know the Lord. What is the gospel? Simply put, it's the truth that God is our creator. And he created us perfect, but we chose to sin. We still choose to sin, to say, to do, to think things that are not what God would have us say, do, and think. Things that directly go against him. And because of that sin, it puts this wall, this barrier between us. The scripture tells us your sin has separated you from your God. But that is not what God desires. His desire is to be in relationship with us. He doesn't want this separation. So he did what he had to do to get rid of that wall. He sent his son Jesus, who lived a perfect life, who knew no sin, who went to the cross to take the punishment that our sins rightly deserve, so the wall could come down and we and the Father could be one. And in his resurrection, he made it possible for us to experience new life. We call on him as we understand the Spirit working in us and making these truths very clear to us. Of our sin, we admit our sinfulness, we ask for forgiveness. We call on Jesus to be our Savior, where all the sin is removed. We call on him to be our Lord, where he is the leader, and we follow. Okay? So does presenting the gospel to somebody have to be a canned presentation like I just gave you? It can be. But it's also just sharing bits and pieces of truth as we get to know people. And as we do life with people, and as we kind of speak this truth, as the Spirit gives us the opportunities at different moments and at different times. God gives us the Spirit to empower us. We respond by simply being faithful, and then comes the response. We see two very different responses in the passage today, right? First, there was that group who believed that they were just jabbering nonsensically because they were drunk. They responded naturally to a supernatural experience. And we still see this time and time again today. Some want nothing to do with Jesus. Some think it is nonsense or a fairy tale. Some simply want to do whatever they want to do. And no matter what you say, it's not going to change the way they think. But some will respond like the 3,000 did at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit preparing their hearts, convicting them of sin, helping them know the truth of Jesus. And we saw what happened there. And the church was born. And a great and mighty work of God had begun. There's no greater feeling in this world than sharing the love of Jesus with somebody and watching them respond to it. Okay? But if they don't respond to it, or if they're not quite there yet, have you failed? No. You succeeded as soon as you open your mouth. Because all God says is, just share. Just share. I'll take care of the rest. God says, leave the heavy lifting to me. All you have to do is share. So in conclusion, I'm reminded of this young man who used to volunteer at the Habitat Restore. Very sweet, very joy to be around. And we talked a lot about God and Jesus, and he's a believer, and about faith. And one day, just out of the blue, he just looked at me and said, would it be appropriate for me to preach the gospel here? And I, in my cleverness and wisdom, gave him a talk about appropriateness and context and building relationships and all these other things. And then later that day, I was giving him a ride home. And once again, out of the blue, we're just driving. He just says, I just feel so sad for people that don't know Jesus. And I was convicted. I said, you know what? You preach the gospel wherever the Lord tells you to preach the gospel. And I want to be more like you. And that's still my heart today. And I pray that is all of our hearts. That we would ask God to give us a heart of compassion for people that leads us to seek opportunities, to take those opportunities, sit back, watch God work, and then declare the wonders of our Lord. Pray with me, please. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you that it is truth and that we can very clearly hear from you, God. We don't have to wonder what it is we're supposed to do, Lord. You give us purpose. You give us mission. You give us power. So God, I pray this week for opportunity, Lord. For opportunity to share your love and your truth in whatever way that looks like, God. Whatever the context is you have for each of us, Lord. God, as we do that, may we simply just trust that you will work. May we simply be faithful and be obedient, Lord. And God, for each of us personally, Lord, may we just keep our eyes focused on you, Lord, so we can declare your wonders, God. Not only for the benefit of others, Lord, but for the benefit of our own hearts and our own relationship with you. God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.